All right, so this morning's passage is in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 26. And as we heard a little bit from the children's message, this is the story of a paralytic, someone who's paralyzed and who has some friends who bring him on a mat, let's say a blanket of some kind. And there's a big crowd. This is in Capernaum, which is Jesus' home away from home. Peter, his house and his mother's house are there in Capernaum. And so Jesus, more originally from out of Nazareth, is living in this Capernaum area as he gathers together disciples. And so this is in his hometown, away from hometown. So everyone is there. This is like us here this morning. We're all like, this is it. This is our home gathering place. It's a Linfield football home game. You know, that's what this is. All right? And so it's crowded. So let's listen to these words. And as we listen, let's listen for the ways that partnership is happening and caregiving is being given. Let's listen to these words. One day while Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately, he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." The word of the Lord. Now, imagine for a minute that this house that we're talking about in this story is yours. All right, this is your house. It's not someone's house from long ago, but this is your house, and this crowd is here at your house. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a big crowd of people, so big that they're in your front yard, they're in their backyard, they're in your side yards, and they're probably knocking over the garbage cans in the process, and to boot, five of them are coming down through your roof. All right? Your roof has a huge hole in it, and there's all kinds of dust and debris on your living room floor. Let me see. Are you happy? Let's see. This is what's going through your mind. Do I have insurance coverage? Is it up to date? What is my insurance carrier's phone number? And where's my cell phone so that I could call 411 or 911? Right? And what we don't hear is what happens after all of this. I mean, is there a cleanup crew? Right? And the four guys who bring the man, the paralyzed man, in on the mat. Can you imagine if they're caregivers? Might they caregive the person whose house they tore apart? Could you see them kind of like the sale that we had during this week, the cleanup crew on Friday afternoon, kind of running around cleaning everything up, right? All right. Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you the story of three people. First, of the paralyzed man, then of one of the men who's caregiving for the paralyzed man, and then of Amy Goyer, a woman who is caregiving for both of her parents and their service dog that they have. So, and through these three people, I want to invite us to hear and learn about what it means to caregive. So, first, I'll start with the paralyzed man. So my name is Zach, and Luke doesn't give my name, but that's my name. I don't know why he didn't say my name. I like to be affirmed and known, and being somebody who has been paralyzed since I was 10, it hurts me when I don't feel like I'm known. And it all happened on the boulders of the shores of the sea in Capernaum, my hometown. I was playing with four others of my friends after our schooling. And we were sort of roughhousing, and I was roughhousing with them. And we were seeing who could balance on the boulders and who could be king of the hill on the boulder. Well, I was winning. Until I got knocked off. And I fell, and I couldn't move. My friend panicked, and they didn't know what to do. And finally, one of them ran off into town to call his mother. And all the townspeople who could hear me laying on the shore in pain. Things have never been the same since, or so it seems. My friends went on with their lives. They stayed in Capernaum helping their uncles and their fathers with the fishing business. And I stayed at my parents' house with my mom. I had a bed out in the courtyard. And I would help her out just being with her. But there was nothing I could do. And I felt resentment at my friends, because they could continue on, and I felt like I could not. And then things changed. Something was happening in town. Yeshua, who'd been there before, was coming back. And in fact, he was staying at a house nearby, and there was some excitement going on. And my friends, the same one who knocked me off the boulder, came rushing in to my mother's house, saying, Yeshua's here. Let's go take Zach to see him. And I was so resentful and wary, and I didn't know what to think. Here I'd been all these years. I was 25 then. It'd been 15 years of pain and agony, of feeling separated not only from my friends, but from all people in the town. Yeah, they stopped by and they would visit, but somehow I felt like I wasn't part of them. And my resentment, truth be told, kept me from being part of them. But they stormed into the house, and they must have convinced my mother to take me. And they gathered up the four corners of my mat and said, "Zach, we're going to take you to see Yeshua, the one that you call Jesus today." And so they went. And you know the story, that I was healed as I sat on the mat before Jesus. But the truth be told is, I felt like I was healed the moment my friends came rushing into the house to gather me up. That was when I felt healed. I still was paralyzed. I still was in pain. I still couldn't move my limbs. I still couldn't do much of anything around the house or in town. But when they came and lifted up the corners of the mat, was the moment I was rejoined to the community. Was the moment I sensed a hope, not of being healed, but that I was healed, because they had come to gather me. They'd come to caregive for me. And then we went to the house where Yeshua was staying. And they didn't stop at the mailbox with the crowd in front of them. And it affirmed all the more that I was cared for. I almost didn't care if I made it in to see him. I was already rejoined to the community. I was already rebonding with my friends who so long ago had felt so bad, though they had tried to reach out to me, had felt so far apart from them. But now I felt joined with them on a journey, a mission. Let's hear from one of the men holding the corner of the mat. His name was Andrew. So my name is Andrew, and I'm one of Zach's friends. And that morning, when we were 10 years old, playing King of the Hill around the rocks at the sea, was the worst day of my life. Yes, I could still walk. And yes, I could still move. Yes, I could mend the fishing nets and go out on the boats to fish. And yes, I had my own friends around town. But when Zach was hurt and paralyzed, my heart became paralyzed. Stabbed with the wounds of hurt and pain that I had somehow participated in the pain that he felt. So when I heard that Yeshua was back in town, I was sitting around with Mark and Jonathan and John. And we were just talking, shooting the breeze as we were mending the nets. And one of us said, "Hey, what about Zach? What if we take him to see Yeshua?" And I said, "Well, there's a lot of people there, and Zach is heavy. I'm not sure we can get him there. It might not work." And all we might have to show for it is Jack's resentment, giving us even just this little glimpse of hope never fulfilled. But as we talked about it, something moved in us. It moved our hands, it moved our hearts, it moved our bodies into action. And we raced off to Zach's house. All the challenges in front of us, even if they stopped us, we were going to do it. And we raced in. We talked to his mom. We told her we'd bring him back. And we grabbed the corners of his mat. And we raced off. Well, I say we raced off, but Zach was heavy. In fact, you know, I wasn't holding up my hand at the corner of the mat. And I had to struggle to hold it up. But something inside of me, I don't know what it was, some power beyond what I think I could do on any other day, carried me on, even as we carried Zach to Yeshua. So we got to the yard and we came to the mailbox, and we couldn't make any more progress. There were all of our friends and townspeople and even people I didn't know, some from Jerusalem, some from Jericho, some from all over, even the religious leaders from all over, who I didn't know and really wasn't so concerned about, except that they stood between us and Yeshua. And I don't know what it is in your life that stands between you and Yeshua and the healing that maybe you yearn for. But between us and Yeshua were all of these people. And we were locked. We were at a loss for what to do next. And the people in front of us were pushing and shoving and trying to get closer themselves. And we had Jack and a mat. There's no way we could slip and slide through this mess. And so we sighed. And prayed. Oh God, open up the pathway like you did so many years ago of the Red Sea, parting it from one side to the other that we can get through. Give us the power to get there. In your precious name we pray, amen. Now there was a gentleman who overheard our problem. He could see, put two and two together, and we had Jack on a mat and the four of us, and no way that we could get to Yeshua, and yes, he knew where we wanted to go. And he introduced himself. He said, I'm a tile maker. You see that roof? I made it. You know what? If you go around the side where there isn't a door or a window, you can see that the crowd is thinner there. I'll get my buddies and we'll part the way that you can get to the wall. And you can stand on our hands and shoulders, climb up the side. And the thatch that I made can actually be parted. Moisten it with a little bit of water, and it'll open up wide. Here's a bucket. Here's some water. Our jaws about hit the floor, and we were shocked first that this isn't going to work. Getting on the roof? No way, Jack. I couldn't even carry him here, let alone up the sides of the walls of the house. And as we struggled and failed, others around us could see what we were up to. And maybe they could see what God was up to. And by some force, I still know not what it was, except a crowd of people underneath us, pushing us and moving us up the side of the wall. We got there. We poured the water on the thatch, parted the roof. And I don't know how we lowered them down. I thought maybe a crash from 20 feet up. And surely paralyzed for life. But we did it. And then the one whom Zach was before said, not to Zach, but to us. And I think not just to us four, but to all the crowd who'd worked to help bring him down. Great is your faith. Your friend has been healed. Amy Coyer. This is AARP Bulletin. Anybody get this? Yes. All right. I've been getting AARP invitations, let's say, in the mail, shall we? All right. I'm 50, and so I get those in the mail. I've not responded, but Lori has been kind enough to lend me her AARP bulletin, and I want to share with you about Amy Coyer. On a recent, Amy Coyer is my name, and my father is a good-natured dad with Alzheimer's. And he finds it harder and harder to follow after me while I care for my mother and do my part-time work. On a recent morning, I helped Dad and Mom get out of bed and assisted them with brushing their teeth and dressing. I fed their service dog, Jackson. I brought Mom the newspaper and cleaned her glasses, and I got Dad settled with music and coffee on the back porch. I administered medications to all three of them, fixed their breakfast, cleaned up the kitchen, rescheduled Mom's doctor appointment, because it conflicted with my paid job, sang and danced with Dad and reassured him repeatedly that everyone was okay and that there was nothing special that he needed to do. Working caregivers. She worked part-time as a writer and she wrote this article. Working caregivers, like me, are everywhere. Some of us are open about our work and about our caregiving at work, about our caregiving roles, but others keep them to themselves. Working caregivers are in a position of keeping or finding work while meeting the constantly changing needs of the people we care for. We never know when a crisis is around the corner. How many of you caregivers? How many of you have ever done caregiving? Yeah. We have a caregivers group that meets occasionally. And look in your bulletin when it's scheduled and join in the meeting. Have I missed opportunities and struggled with unique challenges of being self-employed? Absolutely. Am I sometimes frustrated and overwhelmed? Yes. But here's what sustains me. I know that my parents are more vulnerable than I am, and that I'm doing the right thing. I made a conscious choice to care for them as they have cared for our family. So I've adjusted my work and career goals. People ask me how I do it. I wonder, how could I not do it? I wouldn't have it any other way. I succeed because it's what I want to do, and because I believe so strongly in what I'm doing. When this article was printed, Amy's mother had died. And she felt sad and was grieving her loss. but also reassure that she'd been cared for just as Amy herself had been cared by her mom. Caregiving is a ministry. It's a ministry of First Presbyterian Church McMinnville. No matter where it's happening, in your homes, or right here, we celebrate and give thanks for the caregivers. If you're a caregiver, work with others in finding support so that you too may be given care.